Welcome to Accept Your Gifts, the 22-minute podcast for inspiring your most creative life. My name is Tracy Crow. I'm an author, writing coach, and Marine Corps veteran. I'm looking forward to co-creating today's show with you. So if you're ready, are you ready? I'm ready. So if you're ready to live a more creative, more magical life, let's get started. My special guest today is Antoinette Toscano. Antoinette is an Army veteran, and she's a contributor at Cultures Magazine, a published fiction and nonfiction author with more than 10 years of creative, technical, professional, biographical, business, marketing, copywriting, blogging, and even website content development experience. Antoinette is a speaker and an advocate for everyone diagnosed with anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress. It's safe to say this woman is on a mission to encourage everyone to recover from trauma and the challenges of mental illness, to create a new normal, and to live a big life. But the Antoinette who crossed my path 4 years ago was far different than the Antoinette I've just described and who you'll hear from today. She was functioning, of course, even working back then as a ghostwriter, but the woman who showed up with about 30 others one Saturday morning in Raleigh, North Carolina for my writing workshop was challenged by post-traumatic stress and a traumatic brain injury she'd suffered as a result of an assault by a fellow soldier who had also been her supervisor. As I've mentioned in previous episodes, such as those featuring former paratrooper Alfredo Hurtado, 22 veterans a day, according to VA statistics, commit suicide. But what many of us are just now discovering is that 70% of the world's population is experiencing or has experienced post-traumatic stress. And the causes can range from near-death experiences, the loss of identity of her job, the loss of a loved one, crime-related or sexual assaults, the list goes on. Now for Antoinette, post-traumatic stress prevented her from living what the rest of us would likely consider a normal life. She was afraid to even leave her 900 square foot apartment, and she became sicker and sicker and sicker. And then one day, Antoinette wandered into one of my writing workshops where, according to her retelling of the experience, she felt she truly had permission to write her story. Permission, finally, to tell the truth, all of it. And so she has. You see, Antoinette continued to workshop with me and three other remarkable women for years after that Saturday morning workshop in Raleigh, and now Antoinette has completed a memoir entitled 4 Hours to Live, Memoir of a Female Soldier. So, be sure to return Thursday for part two of this series with Antoinette to hear her read an excerpt from this compelling memoir. You know, the greatest pleasure of my work with veterans and military families is introducing them to the healing power of self-reflective writing, and then witnessing the countless transformations over time. But Antoinette's transformation? This one tops my list. And after you hear her reading on Thursday, you just might want to return to this episode to listen again and marvel with me at all that this woman has accomplished.
Antoinette, I wanted to introduce our listeners to you because I've watched firsthand the incredible personal growth you've accomplished over the past 2 years. And I don't think it's a leap to suggest that this growth first began with your willingness to examine your life through self-reflective writing. Can you share a little bit about where you were just a couple of years ago when our paths first crossed?
Sure, absolutely. When I first left the Army, I started seeing a private therapist who suggested that I start journaling. And that was the beginning of self-reflection, just writing down anything that I was thinking, anything that happened during the day. So fast forward, by the time that I met you, I had just come up out of a fog of severe anxiety, depression, PTSD as a result of my military service in the Army. And I was wanting to live a different life. I had been, as a result of PTSD, I couldn't leave my 900 square foot apartment. And I knew that that was not the life that I wanted to live. And so I began writing.
So what was it about the writing, you think, that helped you to move out of that space where you were, that somewhat depressive and oppressive space that you were, this basically a self-imprisonment?
Right. Well, Tracy, you are so famous for saying our issues are in our tissues. And that was exactly my life. I wasn't suffering from anything that was going to kill me per se. However, I felt as though I were dying because I had a convergence of so many health challenges simultaneously, from severe anxiety, depression, PTSD, arthritis from a broken back, troubles with cognitive functioning because of a head traumatic brain injury, and then this stomach issue that felt like an alien was trying to eat its way out of my belly. And the doctors could not figure out what the problem was. Well, fast forward, it turned out to be a digestive enzyme and cured with a simple herbal, a supplement, but I felt like I was on my deathbed. And in those moments, I just became grateful for the life that I had lived. I could barely drink anything more than clear water and broth, a few sips at a time. And this went on for months. And in those moments, I thought, I'm going to be diagnosed with something inoperable. These are my last days. Let's take stock of your life, Antoinette. So I did. And I became really grateful for the things that I had accomplished, places I'd been. I had loved, I'd given love. I have lived a life of excitement, adventure, and integrity. And I was just in gratitude for what I had experienced up until then. So after I became grateful for what I had, I noticed as every hour went by that day, I felt a little better. I could get out of the bed. I could walk on my own. I felt better and better. I pulled out my journals and said, when I did these things here on the left, I felt pretty good. I was happy and healthy and enjoying life and successful. When I did these things over here, I felt terrible. Let's do more of this over here on the left and stop doing all these things on the right. And so when you give an NBA a problem, we are going to create a spreadsheet with linkings and we will find some correlations. And that's exactly what I did. I got out my computer, I sat in bed all night, and I wrote into my spreadsheet what I was doing when I was feeling well, what I was doing when I was feeling poorly. And that began my journey with writing. From there, I figured out all the health challenges. And I want to be perfectly clear. A doctor cannot fix you. Your family cannot save you. Your pharmaceutical representative and all that they have to offer, those are just tools. Those are tools to help you live the life that you want, but they are not the answer. The answer to fixing whatever ails you, whether it's you're stagnant in your career, you can't find the happiness in your family and romantic relationships and with friends, whether you have health like I have, all of those things are solved from within. You just have to do what I did, was examine your life, decide what serves you and what doesn't serve you, and then decide how you want to show up in the world. What impact do you want to have? What do you want to accomplish? How do you want to live? Mm. My illness was an opportunity.
Right, right. It's one of those gifts that we don't feel is quite a gift as we're going through it. And it's sometime later on the other side of it that we look back and see what sort of gift it actually presented to us, right?
Absolutely. And the gift that it gave me was it allowed me to tap into my creativity, not just my creative writing abilities, because I always knew that I could write. I could write as an IT corporate executive. I have written 100 pages of a proposal in one day. So I knew that I could write. I just needed to learn my craft and how I wanted to share my journey with the world. So I decided that I wanted to create my own life. Create it from scratch, not from what society said I should be as a successful 50-year-old woman with an MBA, or what my family or religion said I should be. I wanted to create a life that resonated with my essence. Some people might say soul, that thing that makes you uniquely you, the thing that transitions when you pass on into your next existence. That's the thing, not this body, but that's the thing that goes with you. I ran everything by my core, my essence. If it did not ring true, if it did not serve the life that I was custom creating out of my own isness, then it wasn't for me.
Well, let's talk for a second about what you said a moment ago about everything else out there externally, they're tools, but only you can fix yourself, and that requires going inward. But what does that journey look like? Because we can talk about that, but I'm not sure all of our listeners, no offense, everyone, but I'm not sure we all understand or have the same frame of reference for what it means when you and I or others talk about going inward. What does that journey look like, and what are we discovering there?
I'm so glad you asked that question, and I actually talk a lot about it in my book, New Normal Big Life, which I give away on my blog, New Normal Big Life blog, for free. An expanded version will be coming very soon, but what I talk about is the first thing is the analysis. Who are you? What do? How do you show up in the world? And is that really who you want to be? Once you have identified who you want to be, what you want to do, where you want to go, then you create a map from there. So, for example, when I was laying in my bed in my 900 square foot prison, self-imposed prison, because I was too afraid to leave it because of anxiety, I imagined a life that was big and wondrous and adventurous, a life that was outdoorsy and whitewater kayaking and camping and hiking. And I was in the mountains all of the time. But at that point in time, I live in the capital city in North Carolina, in Raleigh. And I was 4 hours away from the mountains, and I did not even know how to swim, had never sat in a whitewater kayak before, but that was on my plan. That was in my vision. And now 4 years later, not only am I whitewater kayaking, sailing, camping, hiking, biking, and have lost 60 pounds, I'm living in the mountains. And the life that I envisioned, that I wrote about back in my little 900 square foot apartment, is the huge life I'm living now, every step of the way.
You're such an inspiration. Let me ask this. What would you say to the person who is listening saying, well, that's good, but I don't even know what I would put down as to what I really would like. I don't even remember what it is that I really like. Can you suggest how he or she might tap into those ideas or those memories of themselves?
Sure. Three things I'd like to say. First, you are already whole. You already have all the tools that you need to do this. It's already within you. And just like Tracy said, You just only need to tap into them. So the way that you find out what that is look back in your mind's eye and remember a time when you were the happiest, the healthiest, the most integrated into your community. It may have been when you were 4 years old. And that's what I had to do. When I was looking for my whole self, I had to remember that 5 year old sitting on her daddy's lap and he was saying, "You're my little princess and you can do anything and everything was right with the world." And that's the person I tapped into. What was she like? She lived in New York City, but she loved her mom's family's hobby farm in Virginia. And she was barefoot and she was farming and she was hunting and fishing and all of those things that outdoors people do. That's where I had to go back to my five-year-old self and bring that forward into an adult life. Now, if you don't have any of those memories that you can tap into, fake it until you make it. Borrow someone else's life. If you think I'm living a fantastic life, then by all means, borrow it until you start developing sort of that internal compass for what feels right for you. And it's a skill we all have, but it's a skill that you can forget. Just like riding a bike, you learn to ride a bike, you ride a bike great. 2 decades pass, you don't get on a bike for a while. But as soon as you sit on that bike, it takes about a couple of seconds to get your balance again. That's how your memory of your whole self is. It's a little bit challenging to find, but once you find it, it just explodes into creative ideas for how to live your new normal and live a big life.
Mm. Oh, those are great suggestions. Thank you. Yeah, you need to keep writing, woman. You really need to keep writing. Okay, let's go back to that part about the writing, because I recall a story that you shared in one of our small group workshops about how you had been going to therapy, and which I think you would agree you would, you know, still recommend therapy. But at some point you began to take in the writing you were doing for our workshop to your therapist. Tell us a little bit about that and what was going on there, and then maybe what the reaction was from the therapist.
Yes. So I did not tell my therapist what I was doing. I just showed up one day with the rough draft of my upcoming memoir, 4 Hours to Live, Memoir of a Female Soldier. And I started sharing this chapter and I asked if I could read something. And I just started talking from my written work. And my therapist was so excited. And before I could even ask her if we could continue this, because I was unpacking my life in my writing and then discussing it with my therapist. And I absolutely agree. If you are feeling stuck in any way, you want to change your life, I highly recommend working with a therapist, someone that you click with, someone that views the world similarly to you. So if you have very strong religious values, I would suggest finding a therapist that has similarly connected values. So anyway, I'm sitting there with my therapist unpacking my writing, and the more that we unpacked what I had written about myself and who I think I am and where I want to go and how I got here as a person, I began to heal. My body was healing itself from the inside out through writing. I'm certain of it.
So we have this thing where we want to go inward to tap into who we have almost forgotten who we were before, things like trauma set in and all the scripts that get applied to us by what others say that we should be or must be or whatever. And so we start to try to live to those. But it's almost like the chicken or the egg. Which comes first? Do we unpack the trauma first, or do we go down and try to recall where we were the happiest? Or do you have a thought about that?
Well, I can tell you what works for me and what works for the people that I help is just remembering first what you were like when you were feeling whole and happy and healthy. Because once your body can recall that memory, everything else starts to fall into place. Sometimes you can do it on your own, recalling that time and place in your life. Sometimes you need the help of a therapist. Sometimes you need the help of good books.
Okay, so a couple of years ago, has it been two already? There you were in about, you know, a very small space in North Carolina, very close to me, which, by the way, we all miss you like crazy, but we have enjoyed watching this explosive life of yours take place right before us. And then one day, all of a sudden, you are packing up and moving to Colorado. And we're like, what? What? Do we need to rally and do an intervention on Antoinette? And we're like, what? Tell us about that.
So in my writing, that initial writing, when I was just starting to feel a tiny bit better, I knew that I needed to be in the mountains somewhere. I really thought it might be in North Carolina. However, the universe sent me a trip, a whitewater trip adventure, 15 days on this, 15 women veterans on the San Juan River for 5 days, whitewater kayaking, camping, hiking. Talk about a lot of time for reflection.
Right.
When I landed in Durango, Colorado, I knew at the airport that I had landed in my energetic home. People were talking to me, they were connecting with me, and I'm the person who was like, I have PTSD. Please do not talk to me because I am so anxious right now. Can I just get out of this space with all of these people and breathe? But people were engaging with me. I felt calm. I felt at peace. When I stepped outside, the air was the sweetest I had ever smelled in my life. And I've been in the mountains all the inside of the U.S., but it was just something about that Colorado air that just my ancestors were saying, this is your place. I could feel them inside me saying, this is your place. This is your tribe. These are your people. They get you. And for the first time in my life, everywhere that I went when I was in Colorado, everyone just kind of got me. They understood me. I wasn't the weirdo, the freak anymore because they were just like me. I lived to be outdoors, and so did they.
So take us from the point of having experienced that trip with other veterans, and then the time frame. How long of a time was it between that trip and the time you made the decision and just moved out there?
So within a 4-year span, I left that apartment. I learned how to kayak, sail, surf, and farm, and I moved across country to Colorado. And within 6 months of landing in Colorado, I decided that one of the ways that I wanted to make money in this gig economy as a writer was to be a journalist, because I'm so curious. And I love the idea of creating a story out of nothing. Just coming up with an idea, pitching it to my publisher and my editor, and seeing where it goes from there. And so I mentioned to a friend that I wanted to be a journalist and that I had been getting doors slammed in my virtual face because I don't have a degree in journalism. And she said, I think I know someone who is a publisher and might be willing to give you bits to how to get your foot in the door. I said, that's exactly what I needed. Thank you so much. In 2 weeks, I got that meeting. I sat down for the meeting, and 5 minutes later, I thought, is this a job interview? And I was prepared for a job interview, really. So the universe threw me an opportunity, and I showed up ready to go. I even had a sample article on my phone that I sent from that interview space, sitting in that chair. So I feel that everything that I've been through in my life, from being given up for adoption at birth, coming from a multicultural family, my mom's family is from India and Jamaica, being raised in the United States, serving in the Army, being a corporate executive, having health challenges that I have to manage. Whew, all of that, even the white water kayaking, was part of the universe's plan to help me figure out how to help other people, because there's so much suffering in the world, and I figured out a plan, a way to end that using all of the creative tools that you have available to you. And I think that's what my journey was for. And sitting in that chair in the publisher's office, seeing my opportunity right before my eyes was just a dream come true. And now 6 months later, I am going all over the world covering stories for Cultures Magazine. And again, I have found my tribal home.
Antoinette, if you were to have the opportunity to speak to that 20, 22-year-old version of Antoinette who was traumatized, who had gone through an awful lot with the Army and a lot of other issues and, you know, war situations and stuff like that, what would your 50-year-old Antoinette self say to that 22-year-old version?
I believe the best thing that I could tell her is to live creatively. You create your own life regardless of what label other people assign you. Decide what is right for you. Decide what is that thing that excites you, that makes you want to get up in the morning and just run out of the door to live your life. What gets your adrenaline pumping? What is the career that you could do that doesn't even feel like work? Who are the friends and the romantic partner have that just seem to flow effortlessly? Those are the keepers. Everything else that's really difficult and heartbreaking and challenging, and not to say that creating your perfect dream life is not heartbreaking and challenging, but it's a different type of heartbreak. When you're living your authentic creative life, it feels easy. My old life felt so, so difficult. And, you know, facing a raging class 3 river with giant boulders sitting in front of you, it's not exactly a walk in the park, but it's so easy and so comfortable and so exciting and happy because it's my happy place. It resonates with me.
You know, I wonder how many of us always associate when we talk about living a creative life that it must revolve, that creativity must revolve around the general arts, the writing, the music, the dance, the, you know, all the typical, the visual arts, all the typical arts that we think of when we think of creativity. But I've seen you not only do those arts, but you take creativity to a much broader definition. So can you give us an inside glimpse of what you mean by living a creative life?
Well, I use the word create your new normal because you really can custom design, custom build from nothing, from just what feels right for you, this new amazing life out of just whatever you think it should be. So I use creativity in the way that I create kinship. I have a very small family, and my parents are no longer with me. My oldest brother that I love very much is no longer with me. And my family is just getting smaller and smaller. I created kinship out of wonderful people that I've collected, like you, Tracy, in North Carolina, and friends across the world and here in Colorado. So that's one way that I use
creativity.
The problem was I don't have a lot of family, and I miss that. I miss being surrounded by people who love me and whom I love. And so I created kinship out of total strangers. And that's one way that I'm using creativity in my life. That has nothing to do with the creative arts. It's just being creative about how you solve problems.
Exactly. Oh, that's so beautiful. And that is so clear. You know, we can be creative by hosting a dinner for friends and, you know, providing that pathway for friendship and joy in an evening. And if we're so stuck on our own definitions or limitations about what being creative must look like, then we miss out on all the other opportunities and possibilities. And so I think that was what you just described was beautiful. You are creating your life, period. And some days that might involve writing. Some days that might involve a lunch with new friends or kayaking down a river. That would not be my choice, but that's okay. I love to look at the photos on Instagram. So is there anything else you can think of adding to that that you think our listeners would really benefit from?
Ah, it's one, well, two words. Be brave about your decisions for what to include in your life. Be brave about the things, the material possessions you may have to let go of, because they no longer serve you and they just weigh you down. Be brave about the people you choose to keep in your life and whom you choose to add to your life.
Mm.
Because if you follow the societal, religious, cultural standard for your life, it's very limiting. And we can get stuck in our limited beliefs because we only learned how to be from a handful of people who influence us. If you really think about it, yes, of course, there's all the people that helped to educate you and that you attended school with and that you have been involved with in your career and your friends and family. But it's really just a very small number of people. So add lots of different perspectives to your information gathering before you decide where you want to go with your life. And I did that in my romantic life. I'm 51 years old. And some people were like, you're going to divorce your husband and do what? Move 2,000 miles away? Why? If it's not for a job, then why do it? If it's not for love, then why do it? Because that move resonated with my soul. Forget what everybody else thinks. So everyone thought a 51-year-old woman should be building her rocking chair and getting ready to go into a retirement home. And I chose to examine everything from how I partner, from where I live, and the things that I want to do in my life. And honey, I kicked that rocking chair over and put on some stilettos and went salsa dancing.
Yes, you did. I loved that. That was awesome. Oh my gosh, that's beautiful. Well, Antoinette, thank you, sweetheart, for being with us today, for accepting your gifts, and especially for being willing to share your gifts with the rest of us. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a blast and great to see you. Love you.
Love you too.
I hope you enjoyed today's co-creative listening experience. Please remember to leave a comment about the single greatest takeaway for you today. You know, that one thing you will remember from this day forward. Was it something funny or provocative? Was it just what you needed to hear? Please share so we can all benefit. And remember to return Tuesdays and Thursdays to Accept Your Gifts, the 22-minute podcast for inspiring your most creative life.